The Summertime Slide.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Summer is almost over, and it was sticky and uncomfortable for a lot of U.S. workers. Outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas reports this morning it tracked more than 88,000 layoffs in August. Now, that's down 14% from July, but the cuts were still large enough to make this the worst summer for job cuts since 2002. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Summer's usually a slow time for layoffs and a good time for workers. Not this year.
Very difficult summer, over 377,000 job cuts.
And John Challenger, who runs the outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas, says the worst is still to come.
So it's likely we're going to see heavier layoffs coming up in this post-Labor Day period.
Challenger says right now he expects just about 1 million job cuts this year. That's up almost a third from 2007. So far, financial services firms have shed the most jobs, followed by car makers and governments, hit hard by falling property tax revenue. Retail layoffs are also surging. But there's one bright spot. The number of layoffs at financial services firms was down dramatically in August.
That suggests that we've moved past the bottom and maybe nearing the end of the bloodletting in that sector.
And that's good news. On the other hand, it could mean there's no one left in the financial services sector to fire. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
An iconic American brand is about to pour a lot of money into China. Here's a hint.
I'd like to buy the world a coat and keep it company.
The real thing is looking to make a real deal. Coca-Cola is offering $2.5 billion for a Chinese juice and nectar company called Huiyuan. This would be Coke's second largest acquisition ever and China's biggest takeover by a foreign company. The Dow is down 24 points to 11,492. The Nasdaq is down 4 points to 2344, and the S&P 500 is flat at 1277. European shares are down, and in Asia today, stocks were mostly lower. Mortgage giant Freddie Mac is expected to announce today a successful sale of $4 billion worth of long-term debt. Fannie Mae plans to auction $2 billion in short-term bonds. Over the past couple weeks, investors seem to have renewed confidence in Fannie and Freddie's securities. John Dimsdale explains what's captured investors' fancy.
Fannie and Freddie lost some $14 billion over the past year as mortgage foreclosures spread. Their crisis convinced Congress to give the Treasury Department authority to prop up the two mortgage giants with taxpayer money if necessary.
Fannie, Freddie, and FHA are the game, the only game.
Wharton School professor Susan Wachter says, along with the Federal Housing Administration, Fannie and Freddie are virtually the only financers of mortgages this year. And with the government implicitly backing their liabilities, investors feel safe.
The entire federal government has come out one way or the other in supporting this debt as quite close to Treasury debt. Thus, it's secure, and it's been clarified that it has the backing of the federal government.
Wachter says despite investor confidence, Fannie and Freddie won't be back on solid financial footing until the housing industry turns around. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, September 3rd. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, September 3rd on Marketplace.org. Walmart is keeping a wary eye on the eye of what was Hurricane Hanna and could yet be again. Walmart's concerned because if the storm follows its current path toward Florida and Georgia and grows back into a hurricane, it could take aim at three times as many stores as Gustav had threatened. As the Gulf Coast regroups from that storm, retail businesses will be trying to reopen quickly. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The big grocery chains were ready for this storm. Albertson's spokeswoman Jen Roman says her company has trucks rolling in from Texas. All but five of Albertson's 15 stores in southern Louisiana should be open by this morning.
We've been staging product for the last several weeks, just knowing what we would need. Ice, water, batteries, Perishable products, we find charcoal. A lot of customers are out grilling because they don't have power.
People who work in grocery stores and gas stations got passes to return early. Greg LaRoe said it's the newspaper New Orleans City Business. I reached him where he'd evacuated in Baton Rouge.
Because we haven't seen the widespread residential destruction that we did post-Katrina, it lends me to believe that people are going to come back, and therefore, you know, they're going to be counting on these stores to be open when they do get back.
He says as New Orleanians like him return, demand for food and basic supplies should help retailers bounce back quickly. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
California has just passed an innovative anti-sprawl policy. For the first time, state and federal transportation funds will be doled out based on how well regional authorities are curbing car use in their area. Rachel Dornhelm has that story.
The bill would turn California's planning process on its head. Currently, developers bring their ideas for new construction to regional authorities for approval. The bill envisions city and county planners will create regional growth plans and shop them to developers with fast-track approval. Ed Manning is a lobbyist for major California builders.
The direct economic benefit is trying to lessen the time it takes a project to get permitted and reviewed.
Meanwhile, cities that encourage infill and growth near public transit will be rewarded in transportation funding. David Goldberg is with Smart Growth America.
It's a way to ensure that future economic growth can actually happen because the existing model, the car-dependent model, is starting to unravel.
Goldberg says other states, including Washington, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, are considering a similar approach to stop sprawl. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
It's no surprise corporate America made sure to have representatives at this week's Republican National Convention and last week's DNC. What surprises commentator Robert Reich, though, is the sometimes contradictory roles those representatives have.
At the Democratic Convention last week, I kept bumping into two different kinds of corporate professionals. Most have headed over to the Republican convention this week. One type says its job is public affairs, the other government affairs. They sound similar, but the jobs are quite different. The public affairs types are at the conventions to bring attention to their company's commitments to social responsibility. Many of them have handouts and fancy brochures touting all the good things their firms do. The government affairs types are at the conventions to build their company's political influence. They're the ones in the skyboxes with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. The two types often work for the same big companies, but they seem to operate at cross purposes. For example, I met a public affairs person who talked about the great strides his company was making in green technologies. But the government affairs people from the same company have been actively lobbying against environmental laws and regulations. Another public affairs person was touting her company's dedication to its communities, gifts to local schools and playgrounds, for example. But in the skyboxes were lobbyists from the same firm that had been demanding tax breaks from those same communities as a condition for keeping jobs there. And those tax breaks have meant less revenues for local schools and playgrounds. Other public affairs people told me how much their firms value their employees, giving them more flexible work schedules and extra days off. But the same firms have been lobbying against paid family leave. I'm not suggesting hypocrisy. I mean, it's entirely possible these companies have voluntarily taken on corporate social responsibilities and don't want government to force them to do any of it. Or maybe the left hand of corporate public affairs doesn't know what the right hand of government affairs is up to. But I can't help thinking that if these companies took social responsibility seriously, they'd put a brake on their lobbying and influence peddling. Maybe they'd even avoid spending so much money on political conventions.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts at marketplace.org. Finally, how about a dollhouse for $169,000? It sounds like a lot, but a couple from Battle Creek, Michigan says they'll throw in their real house for free. Jerry and Cindy Mann hope this stunt finally attracts a buyer for their home. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.